The Word of Truth is sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.
Welcome to The Word of Truth, a ministry of Pastor Lars Larson and the First Baptist Church of Leominster, Massachusetts. It is our desire that our Lord use this broadcast to instruct, encourage, and strengthen both Christians and local churches in the New England region. Pastor Lars is always available to assist you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. May today's message from our pastor be blessed by our Lord to instruct and encourage you through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of Truth.
Greetings, and thank you for tuning in today. We are continuing our study on the biblical Christian worship of God. Now, where we have already addressed those positive commands of Scripture regarding corporate worship in the church setting, last time we began to address the negative commands, what the Scriptures declare to be forbidden in worship, specifically the matter of idolatry. And so let us pray and ask our God's grace to help us at this time. Our Father, I pray that you would bless those churches of New England that are true churches in your sight, those who are seeking to worship you in spirit and truth, through your Son, our Lord Jesus, as they are filled with your Holy Spirit, and as they are instructed in your holy word, the Bible. We do desire to honor you with all that we are capable of rendering to you as finite, fallen, and yet redeemed people. Help us to be Bible-based. Help us to be Trinitarian in our outlook, theocentric, Christocentric in our worship, based upon the merit and the person and work of our glorious Savior, your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May you help us today to take to heart the seriousness of your warnings against encroaching idolatry among your people, particularly in the manner in which they worship you. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first of the Ten Commandments addresses the important need to worship the true God rather than false gods. Exodus 20:1-3 read, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." The second commandment prohibits worshiping the true God in the wrong way. Verse 4 of Exodus 20, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Again, Exodus 20:4-6. Idolatry is a common problem in the world. It was in the days of the Exodus when God gave His Ten Commandments to His people, and it is a common problem today still. There are two major types of idolatry that people commit. The first is to worship false gods, and the second is to worship the true God by means of images, worshiping the true God in a wrong way. This second commandment prohibited the making of images that would inevitably result in either form of idolatry. It would lead people to either worship other gods, or it would lead them to worship God in the wrong manner, and therefore the forming, the creating of these idols was forbidden to the people. At the center of the issue is this: we commit idolatry when we set up something other than the true God to which we devote our hearts. Paul admonished the believers at the church of Corinth, "And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." 1 Corinthians 10:7. Therefore, we see that it's not just a problem among Old Testament believers, but it continues to be a problem in this church age as well. Idolatry, therefore, is much more than merely using images in the worship of God. Idolatry is a very common and broad kind of sin that we commit. In fact, the Christian life is often the activity of identifying and casting down idols of the heart, things that come between us and our full devotion and service to God. Idolatry, broadly speaking, is a daily problem that all Christians must address. But in a more narrow sense, idolatry is a spiritual crime that some churches and denominations commit egregiously. And our intention today is not to address the sin of idolatry in the broad sense, but to speak of the form of idolatry which occurs in the use of images in the worship of God. And so we might refer to this matter simply as religious idolatry. It may be said the manifestation of religious idolatry is when we set up an image to represent God visually or to aid us in the worship of God using visual means that God has not ordained. God has forbidden and rejects all such worship. God condemns the use of images to worship Him. And so religious idolatry is present when we sinners alter our concept of God and worship that concept, that fabrication. And really the underlying motivation for doing so is to fashion a God who will not condemn us when we sin. This seemed to be the motivation of Israel when Israel first made a golden calf at the foot of Sinai and declared it to be their God. Then they proceeded to act in a very sinful manner. And so religious idolatry begins with a defection of the heart, which manifests itself in a corrupt visual form of worship. Now we may read of one occasion of God's indictment of Israel on this matter in Ezekiel 14:1-11. Let me read this passage for us. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. This is Ezekiel the prophet speaking. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. And therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, repent. Turn away from your idols, turn your faces away from all your abominations. For any one of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord God. Now that's Ezekiel 14:1-11. They had first set up idols in their hearts, and then they had fashioned physical idols that reflected these in order to visually set them before their eyes. The use of images in worship betrays a problem of the heart in worship. Now, frequently, when Israel was exposed to idols of other people, they were led astray to worship them, because false gods resonated with their own fallen nature. They cast aside the true God, choosing rather to worship idols that were according to their own lusts. We read of this in 1 Kings 11:1-11. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord said to the children of Israel, You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts after other gods. Solomon clung to these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. And then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their God. And so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. And therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. You see, religious idolatry is condemned because it always dishonors God. As soon as you have fashioned an image of God, you have debased God. God is spirit. God is infinite in all his attributes. And so to fashion an idol to represent him is to misrepresent him, to debase him. If you were to visually represent your wife, say, with a picture of a slug, would she not take it as an insult? Well, how infinitely more do people dishonor the infinite God when they attempt to represent him with a finite image fashioned by men's hands? Religious idolatry is condemned, because when an idol that represents a god is visually placed before a man, he will soon be worshiping that idol rather than God, even if that idol is supposed to represent God. No sooner than King Nebuchadnezzar set up a statue to honor himself that he commanded all men everywhere to fall down and worship the image. Now some justify the use of images in worship, saying that people are to use them by looking beyond the image to what it represents. But what inevitably occurs is the veneration of the image itself. And this is why God forbid the use of images in his worship. You give a fallen man half a chance and he'll fall down and worship a stone, travel far and wide to see an apparition, and upon doing so believe that he's been in a holy place before a holy thing. And all such nonsense is condemned by God. Idolatry characterized ancient Israel and was the cause of God's overthrow of that nation. Down through biblical history, from the time of its inception, Israel's inception, to the day of its overthrow by the Babylonian Empire, Israel was prone to and guilty of religious idolatry. From the day of its inception as a nation at the foot of Mount Sinai, to Israel's overthrow hundreds of years later, and Judah's later destruction, Israel was an idolatrous people. Idolatry was the worst possible sin for the people of God, for by it they were breaking covenant with their God. The relationship between God and Israel was likened unto a marriage covenant, and for Israel to commit idolatry was to commit spiritual adultery, going off into harlotry, a sin that warranted death. And God continuously confronted and eventually condemned and overthrew Israel for their idolatry. God overthrew the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, by Assyria, largely due to idolatry. We read of this in 2 Kings 17, verses 5 through 18. It's a longer passage, but let me read it for us. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria. Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel, and besieged it for 3 years. And in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And they had feared other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And they burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets, every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and statutes, according to the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And so they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Now that's 2 Kings 17, 5 through 18. Again, that's God's judgment on the northern kingdom of Israel. But later, God destroyed Judah, the southern kingdom, for the same reason. The sins of King Manasseh of Judah were the final cause of God's intention to destroy his people. Here is the record in 2 Kings 21, verse 1 and following. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done. He worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, by which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them." But they paid no attention. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants the prophet, saying, "Because Manasseh king of Judah has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And so I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even unto this day." Now that lengthy passage was 2 Kings 21, 1 through 15. Again, Judah was destroyed for its idolatry, just as its older sister Israel was earlier on. Oh yes, from time to time a good king had arisen to lead the people in reform, and in a measure they brought an end to idolatry, say, during that good king's reign. But upon their deaths, the people reverted to their former condition. God sent his people into exile in order to cure them of their religious idolatry. He overthrew the nation, and he caused a few survivors to be taken to a foreign land. And there they were cured of their religious idolatry. And we read that of God's judgment that Isaiah recorded, and how God had cured them of their sin of idolatry in Isaiah 2, verse 12 and following. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the beautiful sloops. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. And in that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. And then later in Ezekiel's prophecy, we have recorded God's intention to reveal himself in truth to his people in Judah, curing them of their idolatry. Ezekiel 6, verse 1 and following. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord to the mountains, to the hills, and to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. And then your altar shall be desolate, your incense altar shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, I have read a number of lengthy passages here speaking about this matter of idolatry. Clearly, we can see that God hates idolatry, and he judges idolatry severely. Religious idolatry is when those churches or denominations use images to aid them, so they say or claim, in their worship of the true God. God says no. I will not be worshipped that way. It is dishonoring God. It is blaspheming God. And it incurs his righteous judgment. But let's not just zero in on churches who practice religious idolatry. What about the peoples of our world who are steeped in idolatry? Rather than worshiping and serving the true God, they have set up idols in their hearts. They either are serving their work, they are serving perhaps a sports team, and I enjoy sports, but God forbid that we set those things up as idols in our hearts. Or they serve money, or the acquisition of toys or things. The desire to be entertained drives their life. Sexual promiscuity may be their primary pursuit. They live to satisfy their lusts for excitement and for things. God is going to judge us. He is judging us. And what we're seeing is an erosion of freedom, economic and political freedom. People are enslaved to their lusts. And God has turned us over to our sins. God has given us up to uncleanness and the lusts of our hearts to dishonor our bodies among ourselves. May God be merciful to us and give us restoration, and that will only take place through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We trust that God has blessed you from listening to Dr. Lars Larson. Today's program, as well as previously recorded messages, are available through our website. We invite you to visit thewordoftruth.net. The First Baptist Church of Leominster and concerned friends have sponsored this broadcast of The Word of Truth. If we may assist you by directing you to a sound, reformed church near you, please contact us. If Pastor Larson can assist you further or answer a question that you may have about today's subject, he would be pleased to speak with you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. Until our next time together, may our God bless you richly through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's The Word of Truth program was sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.